So I'm just going to pray before I begin. Dear God, Lord, thank you again, God, that you've just given us just one day of the week just to think about Christ, Lord, and his resurrection. Just to put aside, Lord, so we can just ponder on the things of God and just so we can just come together as believers, Lord, to encourage one another and so we can listen to the preaching of your word, Lord. And I praise you, Lord, just for the privilege to be able to proclaim your word this evening, Lord. It's just such a privilege, Lord, just to be able to stand up here, Lord, and just speak to the Bible, God, to your people. And I pray that you'd help me just help it not to be a waste of time, Lord God, this evening. I pray you'd be with me, Lord, and just that you send your Holy Spirit to be with me as I preach, and just give me the right words to say, Lord, help my thoughts to flow. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name, amen. So for all of you that were expecting Leighton Kelly tonight, I apologise. I might try and speak in a Dublin accent. So so turn your Bibles to Psalm 149. So as I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on tonight, it was a few weeks ago, you know, I was thinking, you know, what kind of subject would be interesting, or what kind of subject would I like to study, or would I like to hear preaching about? And so I'm going to preach on the Christian's joy this evening. I think that's just an interesting subject, and I think something we all need. So Psalm 149, verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 4. Says, "For the Lord take a pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds." So just by way of introduction, it is evident from this verse and countless other verses of Scripture that God delights in seeing his saints joyful, glad and cheerful as believers in him. A lot of you, I'm sure, would know 1 Thessalonians 5:16 off by heart. It's a very short verse. It only has two words, and it says, "Rejoice evermore," speaking to the Christian. The Bible contains the word joyful, and joyfully 193 times. And rejoice, rejoiceth, rejoiced, and rejoicing 286 times. So the Bible has a lot to say about joy and rejoicing. The Christian life is a life of service to God, a life of labour and effort, and at times a life of trials and afflictions. However, God never designed the Christian life to be a life of misery or sorrow, but rather a life of continual joy and delight. How is it then that some Christians are so discouraged, depressed, miserable, bored, spiritually worn out and defeated? This is not normal. You know, I think of Pastor Yan Zhuan's letter that Eric wrote, he read out there a couple of weeks ago at Bible study. You know, he said that it's like an epidemic among pastors, that they're all like suicidal and they're depressed, and every time they see a river they want to jump in. And, you know, that was shocking to me, you know, but that's not the Christian life that God designed. So so some Christians may think, joy, delight, gladness, happiness, it's all for the world to come or when Christ returns. But according to the Bible, the hearts of believers are to be overflowing with joy already, right now, while we're on earth. Some Christians find so little joy in the Christian life that they seek after the world's joys for fulfillment and satisfaction. Pornography, drunkenness, ungodly television shows, unbelieving men and women, fame and fortune is where some Christians are seeking for joy in this life, in the 21st century. Proverbs 15:21 says, "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." So the world's joy is in folly, is in sin, is in wickedness. If something's not rebellious or filthy or sinful, the world thinks it's boring. You know, there's no joy in it for them. But that's where some Christians are seeking joy today. Some Christians are so ignorant of the joy and delight available to them as believers in Christ. They devote every ounce of energy to their studies, their hobbies, sports, their job, their family, or whatever it may be, for fulfillment instead of devoting themselves first to God. So I just want each one of you to ask yourselves this evening, you know, where do I seek for my joy in life? Where do I seek for my satisfaction? Where do I seek for my fulfillment? And tonight I'm going to be talking about the Christian's joy, the joy that's available to us through Christ. So point one, the Christian's joy is found in God. So number one, the Christian's joy is found in God. So we turn to Psalms chapter 43. You're already in Psalms, so just back a few pages to Psalms 43. Psalms So the Christian's joy is found in God. Psalms 43. Psalm 43, verse 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. So here we see the psalmist calls God his exceeding joy. He doesn't just call God his joy. He calls God his exceeding joy. So the joy that he gets out of his relationship with God is actually above joy. And notice that his joy in God is accessed in worship. He says, yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. His joy is accessed when he worships the Lord. How many of you have ever heard the term pride and joy, you know? Someone's pride and joy, you know? That's kind of like a popular saying. But everyone, so pride and joy, like, people know what that means, you know? It means, like, what they're kind of like, what their object of affection in this life, you know, what they love and the thing that they're most affectionate towards in this world. So everyone has a number one object of affection in their life. It might be an only son, a daughter. For some people, it's a cat or a dog. Other people, it's a car or a motorbike. You know, for kids, it might be a teddy or a doll. But our first joy must be God. It has to be God. When I was a kid, I remember my joy was in a dummy. You know, this specific dummy. It was like a cream dummy that I loved, and I didn't want any other dummy. Like every other dummy was just no good. I wanted this one. You know, and one day I found it, like, it was ripped in half or something like that, and I was just devastated, you know, because what I put my joy in, what I put my satisfaction in was torn apart, you know. So if your joy in this life is in money, you'll lose it. If it's in your children, they'll disappoint you. If it's in your car, it will fall apart. If it's in anything other than God, your joy will fail. The Bible says, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Everything corrupts, everything ends up in the dust, basically. But God is ever consistent. You know, he won't fail. So if you put your joy in him, he's not going to let you down. If you are depressed, miserable, and sorrowful about worldly circumstances, like the economy, your lack of finances, then you're clearly not walking in the joy of God. The joy of God doesn't depend on your situations and circumstances being perfect. It only depends on God being perfect, which he always is. So, you know, at work, every single day at work, you know, the unsaved people around me, you know, they're always on about the weather, like every single day. It's like, bad morning today, isn't it? Yeah, bad morning. Yeah. Oh, it's raining again. Yeah. Oh, and they're so depressed just because it's raining, you know. It's like, that's what they seek their joy. And if it's sunny then, oh, it's sunny today, it's great. And, oh, brilliant. You know, everything's brilliant just because it's sunny. You know? So your joy definitely shouldn't be in the weather either. You know, it's sunny today, but it's probably going to be raining tomorrow. That's it. So if you turn to Habakkuk 3, it kind of contains this idea that it just sums it up well, that our joy should be in God alone and not in any other circumstances or worldly things. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. So it's in the Minor Prophets section of the Bible. It's just after the book of Nahum and just before the book of Zephaniah. It's kind of tough one to find, I suppose. The Minor Prophets section just before the Gospel of Matthew. Habakkuk 3, verse 17. And this is what Habakkuk says. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labour of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. So his joy only is in God, no matter what the circumstances are. And Psalms 35:9 says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. So what's the most fulfilling, satisfying, enduring, fullest joy you can have in this life? And the answer would come as a surprise to most people, even Christians. You know, what's the most fulfilling, satisfying, enduring, fullest joy? Is it, you know, maybe winning a gold medal at the Olympics? Is it climbing Mount Everest, maybe? Or it might be going into space on a rocket. Or it might be giving birth to octuplets, which is 8 kids at once. No. Maybe living to see your great-great-great-grandchildren. You know, does anybody think that would be the greatest joy? You know? But according to the Bible, fellowship with God is the most joy you can have in this life. And a lot of you, maybe some of you who've never had really true fellowship with God, you know, might think I'm crazy when I say that, but that's what the Bible says. Fellowship with God is the most joy you can have in this life. If you go to 1 John, right at the end of your Bible, 1 John, chapter 1. Fellowship with God is the most joy you can have in this life. So 1 John chapter 1. And verse 3. So John says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So he's saying, we have had fellowship, talking about the apostles, with Jesus and with God the Father. And he's writing unto us that we would also have fellowship with God, with God, that our joy may be full. So the fullest joy you can have is fellowship with God in this life. So all those previous things that I mentioned, like climbing Mount Everest and giving birth to octuplets, may bring you some joy. But true, close fellowship with God brings full joy. So being conscious of God's presence, spending time before his throne, speaking your heart to him daily, worshipping him, praising him, confessing your sins to him, casting your cares upon him, listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, doing all things to the glory of God, is the Christian's main source of joy. If your fellowship with God consists of a 5-minute prayer and Bible time, then God is definitely not your first joy. You know, if you just get out of bed and you know, open the Bible and you read, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and then you say, Amen, and then you just say, God, thank you for this day. Running late for work. Yeah, thank you, God, please protect me. See you later. You know, if that's your fellowship with God, or if that's your relationship with God, you know, that's not real fellowship. Like, you would never spend only 5 minutes a day with your family members if you wanted to build a proper relationship with them. You know, you would never talk to someone on the phone for 2 or 3 minutes and say, you know, I had fellowship there. I had great Christian fellowship with that believer on the phone for 30 seconds or whatever, you know. So it doesn't work with God either. You know, it's not real fellowship. So I just want to quote you from a popular hymn, and I think this man, his name is Charles Austin Miles. He wrote the hymn in 1912. I think he really, you know, puts it well. Like, he understood the joy that he had when he walked with God. He says, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." You know, he's talking about just fellowship with God there. So even Jesus looked to God, looked to heaven for his joy. In Psalm 16:11, he says, which is a prophecy of what Christ would say later on when he was going to the cross. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." This is what he's saying to God. "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand," where Jesus was going to go after the cross, he says, "there are pleasures forevermore." So that's, even Jesus sought his joy from God. So answered prayer, the result of a committed walk to God, walk with God, will also bring you joy. You know, if you're getting answers to your prayers, that will bring joy into your life. The Bible says, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name." Jesus speaking to the apostles, he says, "Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." So don't be afraid to ask God for specific needs, you know, because these things will bring us joy. When we have close fellowship with him, when we are walking in his will, when we are believing that he will give us the things, then he will give it to us. So the joy found in fellowship with God involves Bible reading. Jeremiah says, Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So Jeremiah again found joy in the words of God. Fellowship with God involves attending church. And you all know this verse very well, Matthew 18:20. "For two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You know, you may say, you know, I read the Bible, I attend church, you know, I pray every day, you know, but I don't have any real joy. You know, sometimes, you know, I do that, you know, I attend church, you know, I pray every day, and I'm reading the Bible every day, but I don't have joy in my heart. And the only reason I can think of why that is so is because of unbelief. You know, I've really searched my heart. You know, why don't I have joy sometimes when I'm doing all the right things? And I think it's because In my case, it's unbelief. It's not having full faith in our God. So if that's your case, you need to check your heart. You know, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you don't have faith, then joy won't come, even if you're doing all those things, you know. Prayer is not worth much unless you believe and know that you're accessing the throne of God. Bible reading is not worth much unless you believe with all your heart these are the very words of Almighty God. You know, if you're reading the Bible like a newspaper or just as a routine, like a chore, you know, you're not reading it like these are the words of the Almighty God. Coming to church won't help you if you don't believe the preaching is for you. You know, you might say, you know, I'm a Christian, of course I believe in Jesus, of course I trust the promises of God. But even Christians can fall into unbelief, you know. Look at Thomas. You know, he wouldn't believe in Jesus unless he actually saw the piercings in his side and the nail scars in his hands. You know, but he was a Christian. You know, look at Peter. He denied Christ 3 times. He was a believer in Christ before that. So you can read about Jesus, learn about Jesus, even preach about Jesus and teach about Jesus. But if you're not fully believing in Jesus and the salvation you have through him with a full heart of faith, none of this will bring you joy. The joy of God cannot be accessed without solid belief of the truth. Romans 15:13. Listen to this verse. This is what Paul says. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. And the next words, in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So he says, you'll be filled with joy and peace in believing. So it's only accessed by faith. And if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, this is a very important verse. It carries the same idea. 1 Peter 1. Peter says, speaking about Jesus, he says, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, there's an important word again, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So only if we are believing in Jesus can we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. If we don't have full faith in the salvation he purchased and in the fact that he's returning, you know, how are we going to have joy? How are we going to have joy in unbelief? So check your heart. You know, think about it. Am I still believing in God and Christ as much as I was the day I got saved? Do I still believe in him as much as I did the day I got saved? You know, you need to get back to that place if you're not. Walking in the Spirit of God will give you the ability to walk with joy in your heart and peace in your soul. And this is another aspect of fellowship with God, walking in the Spirit. The Bible says in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure you all know Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and the second one is joy. So walking in the Spirit will bring joy. Obey the leading of the Spirit throughout your day. Rest in him, rely on him, and reject the evil impulses of the flesh, and joy will naturally flow. This is God's promise to us. How to hold on to joy through our time on earth is through abiding in God. If you turn to John chapter 15, verse 10. So abiding in God is how to hold on to joy throughout our time on earth. So all those previous ways are ways of having joy. This is how to keep joy. John 15:10. Jesus has just finished, you know, talking to his disciples about abiding in him, how to abide in him. And he says in John 15:10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So that's how to keep our joy. Keep in Christ. Keep abiding in him. Keep God's commandments. Keep in God's word. Keep walking in the Spirit. Keep soft-hearted and open to God's molding. Keep believing with all your heart, and you will abide in Christ, and his joy will remain in you, according to his promise here in the Gospel of John. And I just want to say a quick word about, you know, that's how a Christian can retain his joy. This is how a Christian can get rid of his joy. Lamentations, I'll actually just read this just to save time. Lamentations chapter 5, this is what Jeremiah says. He's speaking about when Israel turned away from God, when Israel just started worshipping idols and they were carried away into Babylon. This is what Jeremiah says. The joy of our heart is ceased. Our dance is turned into mourning. The crown is fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned. You know, that's how to get rid of your joy. Turn away from God into sin. So that's how a Christian can lose his joy. So that was point number one. The Christian's joy is firstly is found in God. The Christian's joy is found in God. So point number two. The Christian's joy is found in victory. So if you go to 1 Samuel 18:6 for this point. The Christian's joy is found in victory. 1 Samuel 18 verse 6. Well, just by way of background, this is this is just after David has killed Goliath. So Goliath, who had been challenging the Israelites for so long, just to give him someone to fight with, someone that could defeat him. You know, David stepped up to the task and he killed Goliath. And this is what happens afterwards in Israel. chapter 18, verse 6. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that's Goliath, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. So there was joy in Israel because of this great victory. You know, if I was maybe put in a freezer and frozen for 20 years, you know, somewhere, and then I came out and I went into Cork City and I saw everyone like dancing around and singing and, you know, jumping and just big smiles on their faces, you know, I think, the first word that would come into my mind is victory, you know, some kind of sports victory, maybe Cork won the All-Ireland or, you know, Ireland won the World Cup or something like that, you know, that's the first thing I think of. You know, victory is so important and in giving us joy. Even kids know this. Like, when we were at the youth camp, everyone had teams, you know. Some of you who've been to youth camp, you know about the teams. You know, there's four teams and, you know, they're all trying to compete with memory verses and skits and songs throughout the weekend. Whoever gets the most points wins, obviously. So, and John was announcing the winners, you know, my team was team one. And all my team were kind of like around me, and John was announcing the winners, and he said something about team two, and all my team were just like, oh no, team two, no, I can't believe it. They were just devastated at it because we were ahead like for so long. And then he was like, and the winners are team one, you know. So I don't know what he said about team two. They were serving us dinner or something like that. But then he said the winners are team one, and you know, even the kids, all the little kids that were on my team were just like so delighted. They were in ecstasy, you know, just jumping around, big smiles on their faces, like they just couldn't believe, you know. Well, they could believe that they won, but you know, they were just, it was just brought them great joy, you know. And it's the same for everyone, you know. It's victory gives us joy. Being a Christian loser is certainly not a joyful experience. Joy is found in victory. Accomplishing something great for God brings joy and satisfaction to the Christian's heart. One of the reasons why so many Christians are depressed, down and defeated is because they never even attempted to accomplish anything for God. Never mind actually accomplishing something. You know, most Christians don't even go soul winning on Saturdays. So how can they even expect to accomplish anything? The Bible, if we turn to Luke chapter 10, this is a good verse, or a good passage. So accomplishing something great for God brings joy and satisfaction to the Christian's heart. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So Jesus appointed these 70 men for a work, to go preach the kingdom of God, to go heal sicknesses and diseases, to cast out devils. So he sent them on a work for him. And in verse 17, when they returned, We read, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So doing that great work for God just brought joy to their hearts, clearly. So, you know, and if everyone knows, you know, we were created for a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify God. And the Bible says in Ephesians that we were created as Christians unto good works. So joy is found when our purpose is being fulfilled. You know, if you're fulfilling your purpose, glorifying God, doing good works, then you're going to be joyful, you're going to be satisfied. You know, that's going to bring satisfaction. Accomplishment is even a source of joy for God himself. The Bible says in Psalms 104:31, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. And it says, the Lord shall rejoice in his works. So even God himself rejoices in his works. So, and I'm not talking about, you know, being proud. You know, I've done this, you know, I've won 70 souls this week, you know. You know, I've preached a message about joy, you know. Aren't I great? You know, I'm not talking about being proud. I'm just talking about, you know, this is the satisfaction that when you've done something for God, you can say, you know, I did my best for God. It's just that satisfaction brings joy. Doing good works for God will not bring you joy unless you first follow point one. Of course, God has to be your first joy. You know, if you're not finding your first joy in God and you're trying to do good works for him, then it's just going to turn out, you know, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to find it pointless. You're going to fail. Just like when Martha was trying to do good works, trying to serve Jesus and the apostles. And, you know, she was getting frustrated. She was just saying, why doesn't Mary, my sister, help me? You know, she was getting annoyed. You know, so that's what's going to happen unless you put God first as your first joy. So God's will being accomplished also brings great joy. At U Camp, you know, we were learning a great message. Basically, when Israel were in the wilderness, that wasn't God's will for them. God's will for Israel was in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. And as long as Israel stayed in the wilderness, you know, going around in circles, they didn't have joy, you know, they didn't have satisfaction. They were constantly murmuring, complaining, they were in fear and they were in doubt, you know, and they were in sin. It was just a constant mess as long as they weren't in God's will. Because God's will for them was in the promised land, in the land of Canaan. And then, you know, maybe some of you tonight are in the wilderness, you know, you're not in God's will, you're not in the promised land, you're not where God wants you to be, you know, and in that place, living in rebellion to God, is you're never going to have joy. Another reason why many Christians are depressed, miserable and dissatisfied is because they're living contrary to God's will for their lives. Some of you may be rebelling against what you know God wants you to do with your life. And if you are, then you need to change that this evening. If you go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 in the Old Testament, just after the book of 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We see that joy comes when the will of God is being accomplished. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 is an example of this. So David, who'd been on the run from Saul for 7 years, even though he was the rightful king of Israel, he finally gets anointed king of Israel. In verse 38, verse 38, yeah. So 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And this was finally God's will was being accomplished. The rightful king was taking his place. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there they were with David 3 days, eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread on asses and on camels, and on mules, and on oxen, and meat, meal, cakes of figs, and bunches of raisins, and wine, and oil, and oxen, and sheep abundantly. And it says, for there was joy in Israel, because God's will was being accomplished at last. So, when you allow God's will to be accomplished in your life, you'll find joy and satisfaction will come naturally. Joyful accomplishment, of course, does not come easy. It takes hard work and sacrifice. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 5, and 6, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So nothing that's going to give you real joy in your accomplishments comes easy. It doesn't come easy. It comes with hard work and sacrifice. Accomplishing something easy is never a joyful experience. Like, You know, when you have your dinner and you bring your plate over to the sink, and you know, you wash your plate, you know, and you turn it upside down, you wash the other side, and then you just like leave it there to dry. You're not like, yes, I washed the plate. Look, it's perfectly clean. This is brilliant. It's the best day of my life. Look what I've done. You know, because it's just a simple task. Like, you don't rejoice in something like that. You know, I remember I used to do taekwondo when I was a teenager, and I was in a tournament, and you know, I was fighting in a tournament, and I won the tournament. But all the guys that I was fighting were like 4 years younger than me, and like this size, you know. I was like this size. They're probably like this size, you know. And all I had to do was just kick them a few times, you know, and the fight was over, you know. So that trophy is not really worth much, you know, because it was so easy. But hard work, effort, striving to overcome sin, seeking diligently after God, doing hard things out of love for God, overcoming fears, pressing forward in spite of obstacles, getting rid of some evil things out of your life. Cleaning up your family, winning souls as a Christian will bring joy and satisfaction. Being lazy, selfish, and never ending up accomplishing anything will prevent joy from being in your Christian life. You know, you're never going to get joy from being like that. Luke 6:21 carries the same thought. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. And even Jesus himself had to go through hardship to reach the joy that was available to him. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's why he endured the cross, because there was joy on the other side, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So so that's you know, hard work, labor, you know, brings joy through accomplishment. Victory through trials brings joy to the Christian because of the promise of heavenly rewards. The Bible promises heavenly rewards for those who go through trials in this life. Sometimes the joy of anticipation of receiving something is as good as the joy of receiving it. Like, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted a dog for Christmas when I was about 10 or something like that. And, you know, I was just thinking about the dog. You know, I can't wait to get this dog. And I was thinking about the sound of his bark, what it'll be like, and, you know, what it'll be like to rub him. And, you know, and then when I got him, it was just like, ah, it's just a dog, you know. Like, I was fed up of him within like a few minutes. So the joy of actually anticipating getting the dog was actually better. But in our case, the joy of heavenly rewards is obviously not going to be better than getting the heavenly rewards, but it's going to be very profound. Persecution should bring joy because It's because with persecution comes a promise of a heavenly reward. Luke 6:23 says, rejoice ye in that day, in the day of persecution, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. And sufferings in this life should bring joy. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:12-13, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. So you have to rejoice in your sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. So we are to rejoice in our sufferings because of the promise of the rewards to come. I remember some guy at work was talking about, you know, when he used to play hurling back, like he was probably in his 30s or 40s or something, so it was probably 30 years ago or something like that. He used to play hurling, and, you know, every time someone at the hurling club, one of the kids got hurt, like they got a, you know, bust head, or, you know, they had to get stitches or something like that, they always used to get like a free drink from the hurling club, you know, after they bust their head. So I was thinking, you know, they probably like ran in there like trying to get injured, you know, just to get the free drink. So that, you know, that should be like us, you know, being joyful in sufferings because of the rewards that are available to us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 7:4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Trials and persecutions are another one of the Christian sources of joy, because our joyful hope for the benefits they will reap in the future. So that was point two. The Christian's joy is found in victory. And point three, which is the final point. The Christian's joy is found in fellowship with other believers. If you turn to 2 John, expound on this point. The Christian's joy is found in fellowship with other believers. Second John. Chapter 1. There's only one chapter. Second John chapter 1 verse 12. So this is John. He's writing to the elect lady and her children. So it's some lady in another church or in the church, and he's writing to her family, as far as I know. So he's writing to the elect lady and her children, and he says in verse 12, 2 John chapter 1 verse 12, having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. So John says, I want to come and see you and your family, that our joy may be full, you know, when we have fellowship together, of course. You know, today is a day, you know, where Facebooking is really popular, emailing and texting, you know, things that don't involve, like, face-to-face contact are very popular. Like, even if, you know, I've seen it where, a parent is downstairs and, like, their teenage kid is upstairs and they're, like, texting each other, you know, like, having a texting conversation on their phone instead of just, like, you know, meeting somewhere on the stairs and talking about whatever they need to talk about, you know. So it's very popular. But here we see in the Bible that, you know, face-to-face, actual physical contact is very, very important and is the only thing that will bring joy in fellowship. you know, there's a big difference between emailing someone and you know, seeing them face-to-face. Like, two of my great Christian friends, Joshua and Jamie, have left to follow other pursuits recently, you know, go to college and all that. But, you know, I've emailed Josh and I've emailed Jamie a couple of times, but it's not the same as, you know, like, being with Josh and Jamie, you know, having a laugh, going to drumsticks, you know, or doing something mad, like teaching them how to drive and, you know, going to the beach or, you know, and getting stuck in the water and stuff like that, you know. Emailing is just pales in comparison. So we need to be with each other. We need to have contact. We need to have contact with other believers. In 2 Timothy 1, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, I'll just read this. Paul says to Timothy, I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So Paul wasn't saying he wants to be filled with joy because of Timothy's tears. He says, greatly desiring to see thee, that I may be filled with joy. So he wanted to see Timothy to be filled with joy. God has put us together as believers in this assembly to help our joy. We are to bear one another's burdens, to love one another, to encourage each other. Christians that don't involve themselves in a Bible-believing church, don't stay in a church and don't make the people of that church their spiritual family, are missing out on a vital source of joy God has provided for them in the church. If you turn to Philemon, you see this thought also, Paul again speaking to Philemon. It's just after 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus comes Philemon. It's a small book. Epistle of Paul to Philemon, just after Titus. And there's only one chapter again in this book. So chapter 1 verse 7, Paul says to Philemon, who's a fellow Christian, he writes to him, he says, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So, you know, Paul wasn't saying, you know, we have great joy just in God or consolation in God's love. He actually had great joy and consolation in Philemon's love. He didn't just say, you know, the bowels of the saints are refreshed by God, which they are, of course. But he says the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, by Philemon, a fellow Christian. So some Christians are sorrowful and defeated because they do not seek the help of their brethren. You know, if any of you need help, you know, you shouldn't hesitate to call someone in the church, you know, to seek help. That's what everyone's here for, you know. And if anybody needs help, we should all be reaching out to give them help in their situation. you know, last month's memory verse was Acts 2:42, and it says the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and the second one was, and in fellowship. So we need to continue steadfastly in fellowship. So there's not only joy in getting help from each other, there's also joy in giving help. As Jesus says, according to Acts chapter 20, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Being a part of a local Bible structure church enables us to be givers, to give of our time, to give of our energy, to give of our God-given spiritual gifts, even to give of our substance for others and for God. Giving actually brings us joy. You know, that might surprise some people, but giving actually will bring joy to your heart. If you turn to 1 Chronicles, which is back in the Old Testament again, just after the book of 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. And this is the final scripture, 1 Chronicles 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9, by way of background, David is preparing. David knows that Solomon, his son, has been chosen to build a temple for God, and David's preparing, you know, with all the materials to build the temple. And all the people of Israel, came and brought, you know, everything they had, you know, just to offer for the temple, for the building of the temple, what they could. And it says in chapter 29, verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So giving brings joy. It brings joy to the giver, and it brings joy to the receiver. So we ought to be givers, and just being part of church, being in fellowship, gives us the opportunity to be givers. So that was point 3. The Christian's joy is found in fellowship with other believers. So just by way of conclusion, God delights in seeing believers joyful and content during their lives on earth. He has provided the necessary sources from which to draw our joy. God designed the Christian life to be a life of profound and abundant joy, despite earthly circumstances. And we see that, number one, the Christian's joy is found in God. Fellowship with God is the most joy you can have in this life. The joy of God cannot be accessed without solid belief of the truth. If you're praying and reading the Bible and trying to have fellowship with God without really believing in your heart that he's listening to you, you're not going to have joy. You have to be believing. The joy comes in believing. Walking in the Spirit of God will give you the ability to walk with joy in your heart and peace in your soul. And abiding in God is how to hold on to joy throughout our time on earth. So if you don't abide in God, then you're going to lose your joy. So that was point 1, the Christian's joy is found in God. Point 2, the Christian's joy is found in victory. Accomplishing something great for God brings joy and satisfaction to the Christian's heart, just like the 70 that Jesus sent out in Luke chapter 10. God's will being accomplished brings great joy. If God's will is being accomplished in your life, if you're living in God's will instead of in rebellion to his will, then you will have joy. Joyful accomplishment does not come easy. It takes hard work and sacrifice. And victory through trials brings joy to the Christian because of the promise of heavenly rewards. We're promised. Those who go through trials are promised reward, to be rewarded. Plentiful payback in the end. And number 3, the Christian's joy is found in fellowship with other believers. God has put us together as believers in this assembly to help our joy. We ought to be coming together as believers, encouraging one another. And giving brings joy, finally. And being here gives us an opportunity to be givers. So I just want to thank you for listening. I hope it was a blessing. And I just want to pray and close in prayer. Dear God, Lord, praise be to you, God, that you just blessed. And thank you, Lord, for helping me just get through this message. And thank you, God, for your word and just the vital truths that you give us, Lord, the necessary truths that we need. Thank you, Lord, just that you didn't design the Christian life to be miserable and sorrowful, Lord, but in your love and in your mercy, Lord God, you designed the Christian life to be a life of joy and delight in you, Lord. I pray that you'd help every one of us, God, just to take these things and keep them in our heart, Lord, throughout this week, just that we would seek you first, God, in seeking after joy, and just that we would just access the joy, Lord, that's available to us through Christ. And just that the joy of the Lord will be our strength, God, and will just make us better Christians, Lord, and help us to press onward in our Christian life, Lord God, to victory. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.